And we got Aljamain Sterling, like we promised, here on the show. First and foremost, how are you doing, man?
Doing good. I'm doing good. It's been a great weekend.
Word, word. Yeah, take us through an average day in the life of Aljamain Sterling.
An average day, that's typically, I usually just go to rehab right before my first workout session for the day. I usually have a little downtime, then I'm usually coaching. As of right now, I haven't coached, but I do have a coaching position lined up back at my high school, so I'm going to start doing that again, and then right after that, I'll just be heading right over to the gym again, and usually get my second or third workout in for the night.
Coaching wrestling?
Yeah, I'm coaching back at my high school, which is it's awesome. It's right down the block from my house, so it's very, very convenient.
Word, yeah. I kind of want to go back to your younger years. You come from a big family of 20 kids. I'm an only child. I can't really relate. What was that like?
Man, it was crazy growing up with so many people in the household. There would be times, you know, for the most part, we'd be actually fighting for attention. So a lot of things, if we seen somebody get something, we'd pretty much try to fight to make sure we got noticed and say, hey, we want that too, or we want something better, just to try to get the one up on each other. And yeah, there was a lot of fights throughout my childhood, but it was fun. I actually didn't like my family very much growing up until I actually went away and came back, and I started to put more stock into the whole family thing and realized that things weren't actually as bad as I thought it was when I was growing up. And they actually did things for certain reasons, and yeah, it's cool. It's cool that I can actually talk to my brothers and sisters now and actually see that they aren't all evil.
Yeah, I'm sure a whole bunch of us, you know, age 18, you graduate, you want to get the hell out, but then you're like 23, 24, our age, and we're like, man, yeah. I really miss home and not paying bills and all that awesome stuff. But started in basketball and sophomore year. You and I both, we got cut from the high school basketball team. I didn't choose wrestling, but you chose to change it up to wrestling. Did you have a rude awakening moment when you first started wrestling and realized how difficult it really was?
No, you know, it's actually kind of weird because I didn't want to wrestle because, I'm not going to lie, in the beginning, I did not understand it. The coach actually wanted me to come out freshman year, and I was like, man, I did not understand what the hell these guys are out there doing. There's no way you could get me in one of those little leotard things. So that was my mindset freshman year, so I didn't do it. And I was dead set on basketball because my doctor told me, you're going to be 6 foot tall. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to be a basketball player in the NBA and all this, that, and third. But, yeah, when I actually first came down there, it wasn't as bad because before that, we actually had this thing where I'm from. It's called Body Up, where it's like a mutual agreement to kind of just go Greco-Roman rules, where we're just trying to grab each other by the jeans and slam each other on the ground. So it's kind of like a battle of strength and see who is the biggest man around your size. And so I kind of went that route when I went off to my first wrestling practice. And I got taken down a lot, but I was able to ragdoll a few guys and get them down to the ground. And it was cool. At the end, right at the end of that practice, my coach asked me, he said, what do you think? And I said, man, yo, I don't know why I didn't do this since freshman year. I was like, this is mad fun. This is mad cool. I don't know why I didn't do this. But, yeah, I fell in love with it that day.
Word, word. Yeah, you were very, very successful wrestling in college. You know, how do you think you were able to find such success, especially in the collegiate ranks, in a sport you didn't really compete in until you were in high school?
I was just dedicated, man. In my freshman and sophomore year, I gotta admit, I didn't take it as serious because I was naturally talented, I guess is what people call it. You know, I guess I just had something where I was just naturally good at it, I guess. And I would win a lot of matches, but I wasn't beating those guys who were in the top 10, top 15 bracket. And there was a reason for that. I wasn't putting in the time. And later on, my coach told me, he said, if you want to be good and you want to beat those guys, this is what you have to do. And I tell him to tell me everything I got to do. And that entire off season, I did that. And the next season, it came back, and I ended up getting D3 Wrestler of the Week. I won the Ithaca Open Tournament, which I could not even get out of the first round before in the past 2 years, and I got MOW that year in that tournament, and from there, it just kind of just took off, and it's, the rest is history.
Yeah, and we have seen in mixed martial arts, to change it over to that topic, you know, wrestlers have been so successful from, you know, making the change from college to MMA. When did you realize you wanted to start to work towards a career in mixed martial arts?
I didn't really realize it until I actually tried it. I knew Jones and Destin Mooresville, and I saw a few pictures of him on MySpace with the gloves on and everything. You know, I watched it a couple times on TV, but I didn't really know what to think about it. You know, I never really said, hey, man, I definitely want to do that. And then when I saw that he was doing it, I knew he was a good wrestler. I was like, you know, what do you think about it? Where are you training? He told me he was training in Cortland, which was right where I was going to school, because I had just transferred. And I was like, yeah, man, I'd definitely like to come down and check it out. Like, he didn't believe that I was going to come down. Came down the very next day, and ever since then, I just never really stopped training. And I just really, really liked it. I just like being competitive. I think that competitive aspect of a sport is what I'm more driven to that area, whether it be judo, any type of one-on-one combat sport, wrestling, karate, anything. I just like that one-on-one combat aspect.
Yeah, you mentioned you've known John Jones for a while now. How surreal has it been to watch, you know, your former wrestling partner, John Jones, go from JUCO wrestler to the pound-for-pound king in mixed martial arts?
Yeah, it was very surreal, man. I loved it. It was when I first saw that he was doing so well. I was like, man, this guy. I said he would do well from the jump, just because I knew what kind of a phenom he was on the wrestling mat. And people didn't really believe it, and I was like, man, you guys don't understand. This guy just picks everything up and just kind of just goes out there and just does whatever he sees, and it just looks awesome, like he's been doing it for a while. And after he won the belt, and like you said, he's a pound-for-pound, I guess, number one ranked guy in MMA right now, and it's very inspiring. It lets me know that I could do the same exact thing if I just keep putting in time and keep working.
If not for John Jones, do you think you would have gotten into MMA?
That's a tough question, but I do think I would have at some point. I'm not exactly sure when. I think it's more so that I ended up going away to school. I think if I had stayed home, and like I said, because of my family, that's actually why I wanted to move away, because I was just like, man, I got to get the hell out of this house. And I was thinking, man, if I ended up staying and going to Nassau, which I could have ended up going to school for free instead of paying all that money, and now I got to pay all that money back in loans, I probably would end up meeting up with Ike Quinn and those guys over at Ray Longo's probably sooner than what I did now. So I don't know. It all depends, but I'm pretty happy the way the college played out. So I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I definitely know that student loan game. Jones, you know, Jones has had a pretty odd reaction from most fans, being a fan favorite up until the last couple years around the time he won the belt, where a lot of people have turned their backs on him, and now he's, you know, not nearly as liked as he was. Do you have any theories on why Jones has suffered in the eyes of public opinion so much?
From my personal opinion, what I've seen with that, I think it's because I know the guy, and how he kind of portrayed himself in the media was kind of just like, you know, dude, it comes off really, really, you know, fake. It's just like, you know, that's not really how you are. And, you know, even though you try to portray that image, you kind of see through, I guess anyone with common sense can kind of see through that and see like, man, I don't know, there's something up with this guy. It just doesn't seem natural. This doesn't seem to flow out of him the way he portrays himself. So I think that's the real issue with people have with him. But I think now he's starting to open up and kind of like, man, I don't care. You know, I'm going to say whatever I want to now. And I think people are kind of like more, I guess, open to that. So he hasn't been bashed as much as he has in the past. So I think he's kind of going the natural route and just being himself, just saying what he has to say, and just being regular John instead of trying to please everybody. You can't please everybody, man. Eventually, someone's going to hate you for some reason. They're just going to find something about you that they don't like. They don't like the way you brush your hair, or they don't like the way you tie your laces or wear your pants, or, you know, just that's just how people are. People want something to hate, or they want something loved.
Aljamain, I don't like the way you brush your hair. Do you still do you still talk and keep up with John?
Actually, no. I don't want to sound like this is weird. That's a tough question. I mean, if I seen him, it would be no problems. It would just be like high and by, and that, you know, it'd be that kind of a thing to kind of just, you know, make it an easy answer. But for the most part, he's a lot different than how he was before. Obviously, you got kids, you got family, so I understand it. But certain things that he's done is kind of just like, I don't really respect it. But that's just me. And I'm more so a man of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, let's just say I'm going to do it. When you say you're going to do something and you don't do it more than 2-3 times, it's just kind of like, you know, I don't really know if I want to be bothered with that. You know, I'll just leave you alone, let you do your own thing. It's kind of like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, talking about doing what you say you're going to do, you have walked into the cage 8 times now as a pro fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And you are now 8-0 after your recent fight, with your last 3 fights all ending by rear naked choke. Do you think you're ready for the UFC if they made the call today?
Honestly, I do think I'm ready. I wasn't sure if I was ready yet because I just haven't had a chance to really show my stand-up and show what I could do. But at this point, I'm just like, man, if I'm doing what I'm doing and it's working, I'm not going to fix it, and I'm just going to keep doing it until someone can prove that I need to switch my game up or something. But honestly, I'm ready. I don't see what else is there for me to do on a regional circuit. But, I mean, if someone wants to step up and fight me, I'll fight them. But at this point, I'm ready for the big leagues, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, if anyone has seen his highlight tape and doesn't think he's ready for the UFC, they obviously don't know the sport very well. I assume if they did make the call, you would stay at a bantamweight. Do you have any opponents that jump out to mind at 135 in the UFC if you were to sign a contract with them today?
No specific opponent right now. I mean, that's the thing with the UFC. You never know who on earth they're going to match you up with. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where you just got to be well-adapted and well-rounded enough to fight any of those opponents. So, at this point, I don't want to say I want this guy and then I get that guy, you know, so I just whenever that does happen, if it does happen sooner or later, I just fight whoever, man. Just got to go out there and get it done, because there ain't no picking and choosing at that level, you know?
Yeah, you recently made the move to join a camp where a lot of successful UFC fighters have joined. That's the Cerro Longo camp. How has your preparation changed for fights since joining, both mentally and physically?
Well, physically, I have structure throughout the entire week, you know. I think that was like the main thing that I was kind of lacking before. I was kind of drawing up my own workouts for the majority of the week, which was kind of tough because sometimes I'm just like, man, this would be so much easier if someone was kind of guiding you and actually there the entire time watching over what you're doing to making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. I think that's the real significance of having a team around you, and it kind of just boosts your confidence mentally and physically, and lets you know you're ready. And I think that's the biggest difference. And like I was telling this other guy before, it just gives you a mental those guys are mentally, not even mental, they give you a lot of positive reinforcement, so to say. So when you're doing something right, you know you're doing it right. If you're not doing it right, they're going to tell you, listen, man, you're not doing it right. And they'll make sure you're doing that and fixing every little thing that you need to fix. And it helps. And I think it really showed in my fight last weekend.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk talk about, because I have heard two big philosophies as far as training for a camps. There is just training on your weak skills and not really worrying about the other guy, and there's obviously worrying about the other guy and building a game plan. Are you more of the guy who goes and trains and doesn't even think about the dude you're fighting and just trying to make yourself better? Or are you stepping in knowing the guy you're fighting like the palm of your hand?
I try to do a little bit of both, but for the most part, I definitely do worry about what the guy is going to do. Sometimes I think I may do what they call a paralysis by analysis, and I kind of go drive myself nuts with that. And I really, really worry about it so much to the point where it kind of drives me crazy. And my trainers have, since I've been here, they've told me that's the first thing, that's like one of the first things they notice from me, and they say, listen, dude, you need to just go out there and just do your thing. If you sit there and worry about what this guy is going to do the entire time, you're not going to end up doing anything whatsoever. So it's kind of a little mixture of both. For the most part, we get an idea of what the guy wants to do, and we kind of just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're aware of this. We're aware that he's good at that. And it's kind of like, still go out there and do your own thing, but just make sure you're wary that this is something that he likes to do. And it's kind of one of those things. So it's not really any specific style, I guess. It's kind of like a mixture of both.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, another Cerro Longo product, Chris Weidman, he's preparing for the biggest rematch in UFC history against Anderson Silva. Do you have any insight into his camp that maybe we haven't heard about yet and you're comfortable talking about?
Long live the champ. Chris is a workhorse, man. He's going to go out there and just put it on him again. I mean, I love Anderson Silva. I love watching him fight. But Chris just has his number. In my book, he has his number. He's just going to go out there and get it done again. I think we're going to see another finish, and people are going to see this time that it wasn't no lucky punch, and Chris went out there and actually did what he was supposed to do, get in and get out. And there's nothing special he's doing. He's just working hard and preparing to be the best Chris Weidman, because you know Anderson Silva is going to come back looking to try to make a comeback statement. But I know Chris, if anybody seen the way this guy works, you'll see that this guy is not, he's not losing anytime soon. He's too focused, too hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. Another Cerro Longo guy, Al Iaquinta, just won last weekend in England. He's won two in a row now. I actually think he's got the grit to maybe be a top ten lightweight. What do you think's next for him? You think they should toss him, guy in the top 15, top 20? What do you think about Al?
He's another workhorse, man. I don't know what they're going to give him next, but I definitely think he would do well against any one of those top 20, top 15, or even a top 10 guy. I think Al's right there with those guys, and he could definitely win those matchups. And I think people are going to be very surprised when they see him again. He's going to show a brand new form, and he's going to come back even stronger. He hasn't been able to finish his last two guys. I think it was just him being a little bit smart and trying to stay out of a bad position, because Piotr is tough. Ryan Couture, he's tough. And he had them both dead to rights at one point, but I think he's just smart. He knows that those guys are still dangerous in certain situations, and he didn't rush to go in for it just to try to get the finish. But he could have definitely finished those guys, and I think you guys are going to see a much better ally pointed the next time he goes out there.
Hell yeah, I totally agree. Just a couple more non-MMA questions before we let you go. I did creep your Twitter a little bit. Saw you were a New York Giants fan. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. Both of our teams, not good seasons. We know what's wrong with the Bucs and a horrible coach. But, you know, you all seem to have the pieces. Coughlin's a good coach. You got Eli, Vic Cruz, a pretty solid defense. What is wrong with the New York Giants this season, son?
I really have no idea. In the beginning of the season, I really felt like it was the O-line because they weren't giving Eli enough time back there to throw the ball. And then there were some games that we were so close to winning. I was like, all right, we're going to break the streak. We're going to break the streak. And then he just goes up and tosses a duck up there. And two possessions where we're down 14 points when we were down. It was a one-possession game. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. How does this guy do that? But I don't know. I definitely blamed it on the line. But for the most part, it seemed like those guys weren't playing. I don't think everyone was playing for each other, kind of just playing for themselves. And I think that's a big part of it. But who knows, man? I still think with our weak conference, we could probably come back and end up stealing it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens later on in this crazy downside season.
For sure, yeah. I mean, this is the perfect kind of season where, you know, the NFC East is never too good. I totally could see the Giants, like, winning out, making a wild card spot, and winning the Super Bowl, because that's just what the Giants seem to always do. Like, they start 2-7, and then, oh, hey, we won a Super Bowl. But final question. Halloween was just about a week and a half ago. Last week we had Michelle Old on. She said she dressed up as a gynecologist for Halloween. What did you dress up as, and what is Aljamain Sterling's favorite scary movie?
See, man, it kind of sucked. I didn't get to dress up just because of the fight. I was too focused on the fight, and I didn't want to seem like I was taking anything too lightly. I'm one of those guys, once I get into my head, I'm like, man, I don't think my opponent is dressing up right now. I'm not going to dress up. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit home, and I'm going to train. I get kind of crazy like that sometimes. But, my favorite scary movie would probably be the Friday the 13th series. Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. I think it's Jason's got the hockey mask. Yeah, yeah.
The Nightmare. Honestly, that's the other series.
Yeah.
I like both those series, but I'm more of the Freddy Krueger guy.
Word. I'm a Michael Myers guy. Well, man, thank you so much. Before we let you go, do you have any plugs, shout outs? Definitely follow his Twitter, which doesn't come straight to mind, but yeah, you have any plugs or anything?
No, just keep listening. Shout out to Goalie Ivaca. They actually sponsored me last minute for my fight. And hopefully you guys get to see me fight again soon, and hopefully he's in the big show.
Yeah, the Twitter is Funkmaster Aljo, Funkmaster Aljo, and go ahead and tweet at Dana White and Sean Shelby. Tell them you want the funk. Tell them you want Aljamain Sterling in the UFC, and we really hope down the line, once you are in UFC, we'll have a chance to chat it up again, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.